Matt Spanger, Injured Hawk, joins us in the 3AW commentary box. Matt, we saw you go down early in the match against Brisbane up at the Gabba in round 12, a hamstring injury. We're just asking you off the air whether you're going to play some footy before the year is done. And you might. Can you dream the dream? Do you dare?
Well, I suppose you have to dream the dream, don't you? No, it's we're speaking off there, and it's the healing's gone a little bit better than expected. So, hopefully, sneak back towards the with a couple of rounds to go, get some games in the VFL, and then after that, who knows?
I know it all needs to go well first and get that rehab spot on, but have you set a plan in your own mind or with the coaches, saying, okay, if I can get two games in the VFL and the lead in, that there's an opportunity for me to still play senior football this year?
Yeah, we've spoken a little bit about it, but it's one of those things that, I mean, and you know, Lee, I suppose that heading into the finals, the teams are more often than not pretty set, so they're not trying to say to me that, you know, if you get back, you'll play. We'll get back and we'll play if required. So just wrapping my head around that.
We've been spending a fair bit of time today, quite rightly so, talking about Sam Mitchell and what a wonderful player he is. Can you just give us something we haven't heard of before? We talk about his footy brain, his brilliance on the field, what he does off the field as far as his training standards and all that, but what's he like around the club, just around the change rooms? Just drop a little bombshell on Sam Mitchell for us, please.
He's an absolute pest around the change rooms. He takes pride in that old school welcoming of new players, you know, firing a footy at them or something like that, you know, sink or swim mentality, because I think he was probably the greatest example I can think of that has sort of done that, done the hard yards and had to earn his stripes. So he thinks that almost everyone has to do it that way.
Just
so
a bit of old school hazing.
Yeah, just a little bit. So really walking a fine line between bullying and hazing. But he's a great person around the club and everyone really admires how he goes about it.
Do you believe him when he says he'd rather win a best and fairest than a Brownlow?
Absolutely not.
Does he demand high standards for everybody around him?
Yeah, he does. He really does. And I mean, it's one thing to drive him, but the fact that he, you know, walks the walk as well is what makes it so influential. And you know, we've got a really good leadership group down at Hawthorn, and the combination of him and Hodgie working together is really, really powerful.
Can you tell us a bit about that leadership group? Lingy bangs on about how important it is. You've almost got six assistant coaches out on the ground, or maybe more, but Lewis, Burgoyne, Gibson, Hodge, Mitchell, and they're in game role.
Yeah, certainly. I think as I got older, I probably appreciated how important the on-field instructions are from our senior players. And particularly when I came here, I really did notice, and there was a couple of key examples, certainly in 2013 and 14, where, you know, we'd be out on the field and something needed to change and the message didn't even come from the box. It was just driven from the players. And to see here that they were able to do it and recognise it as well, and then also to get everyone to complete the task was really impressive. It's sort of an experienced player.
How would that actually happen? They'd be just sending it back, or
yeah, it was something as simple as, you know, the way we might want to change the ball, as in, you know, we've come in with a plan halfway through the first quarter, it might not be working, and a player might have recognised it or something like that, or and you know, that's just one example. And then there's another one where, we know, I worked pretty well with Josh Gibson in the back line, and he can see things a lot more, obviously being the back, like, you know, being full back, see the ground a bit more. So he'll be communicating to the mids a lot more and going down the line, which I know is supposed to happen at all levels, but I just feel that it was happening really strongly when I came here.
Matt, we've had a chat a bit about player movement, and you've moved clubs, a couple of clubs along your journey. But talking about Bradley Hill and Alistair Clarkson, talking about the fact he's met up with Fremantle and Ross Lyon, saying they'd love to have him, and that sort of open communication about player movement, is that the way the game's going from a player's perspective, that players are so much more open to moving clubs and transparent with their original clubs, the clubs they're at, to say, well, I'm perhaps looking at moving home, or I'm perhaps looking for further opportunities, therefore I'm meeting with some club somewhere. Is that the way the game's going?
Yeah, certainly. I think for a number of reasons. One, I mean, in today's age, it's pretty hard to hide things like that, you know. And to being transparent is just so much easier, I suppose. And as a player who's moved clubs, there's no hard feelings, I think, either way. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, there might be more than just football going on. There might be other reasons why a player needs to leave and things like that. So I think that transparency is really important, and I think it actually makes the whole process a lot easier.
Do you talk to Bradley Hill about what it is like to move clubs? Do you try and convince him to stay, I suppose, first of all? But do you then talk about how hard it is or easy it is to move clubs?
Well, I certainly haven't spoken directly to Hilly, but I mean, I only heard the news myself yesterday, and I haven't actually seen Hilly until that point. But we really want him to stay. I mean, he's a really important player for us, and I certainly would be trying to convince him to stay, that's for sure. But that's up to him really, and he's a smart kid. He'll take it all on board, and he'll make his decision.
When you retire down the track, you'll probably look back and know that you played under one of the greatest coaches of all time. How hands-on is Clarko, particularly in the pre-season? We hear he doesn't take training and he's a step removed. How much involvement do you have with him, particularly earlier in the year?
Yeah, certainly. You're right. Certainly in the training sessions and in the pre-season, he probably does let the assistant coaches take a bit more of the leadership role. And that's part of their development as well as his ability just to sit back and probably not get so stressed in the pre-season. But I think he's got a really good relationship with all the players. I mean, he goes out of his way to have little personal jokes and little like personal nicknames or things like that that they might not seem like a lot, but they do go a long way. And, you know, the door's always open as far as going to have a chat with him. And, I mean, sometimes just personally I should be going in there a little bit more often than I should, but that's the nature of the game.
Just go in there and have a sing-along with him? He brings guitars to training?
He loves the guitar lately. I don't know when he's taught himself, but he forces the boys to sing every now and then, which is a bit of fun. But
Is he all right at it? Can he play?
I'm not going to judge. I couldn't strum a guitar, so I better not judge him too much.
He was less brutally frank about his coach than he was about Sam Mitchell and BNF versus Brownlow. Matt Spanger, injured Hawk, is with us. Are you still as much of a cult figure when you're out injured as you were when you were playing so well and in a premiership team a couple of years ago?
Oh, probably not, unfortunately. I think I need to get back on the park to renew the status. But no, the fans are great. I mean, it was a little bit overwhelming getting something like that about you. But, it was much better than the other way, I suppose.
Tell us before you go about your involvement with stand-up events. You're on the committee, yep. I gather, for that, which is supportive of gay and so on. What's the acronym that's used these days?
LGBTQ.
Yeah. Now, and you are a footballer, and you know attitudes are changing. Do you see that reflected in the male community at large that AFL football clubs represent?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think that in that particular space, the steps that have been taken in the AFL have been great. But having said that, there's always room for improvement. I think the AFL prides itself on leading the way on a lot of issues, and this is a really important one. One that's particularly close to my heart, and being actively involved with an organisation like Stand Up is, is just a small way of me giving something back.
And there's going to be a Pride March associated with a footy match in a couple of weeks' time, I gather.
Yeah, which is very exciting. So, and you know, I mean, that's I suppose the whole process is just getting the public aware of the potential, you know, the risks and of like mental health that go along with being ostracised for being who you are. So that was an important step, and particularly working with the guys at Stand Up, Angie Green, and also of course the Sam Lane is down there. So it's a really good crew down there, and I feel like we're getting the right things done.
Terrific, Angie, of course, daughter of Russell, who was a 300 game player for Hawthorn, and has a brother who is gay, and it prompted her to drive this initiative, which she's doing very effectively. Matt, great to have a chat with you.
No, thanks very much for having me, guys.
Good luck.